HX has listening.
DJC in 4, DJC in 0, TR. Or QLG, KL4 QLG in 0, TR. In 0, TR, clear.
0, TR. This is KL4 QLG.
Good afternoon, Chris. I feel like I won the lottery here. However, I got a Happy New Year's present called COVID-19. How you doing?
I'm doing better than that. That's hard to hear that, Tom. You and Bernice both got it?
Well, Bear, do you know what? Yeah, unfortunately we do. I got mine the Saturday before New Year's, so about 5-6 days ago, Chris, and she got hers the next day, started showing symptoms. We picked up some medicine for it today, but the medicine says you're not supposed to take it after 5 days, so I'm up in the air about that. Boy, it's nice to see the sun, though, after 4.5 inches of rain down here.
I don't have anything to measure the rain here at my place, but I know it rained a lot. Probably just as much as up there.
We had an awfully nice visit from a very close person to you the other day and brought us some potato soup and all kinds of other stuff there. Boy, that was a surprise that I'll never forget. I don't know what I'm going to do with that guy.
So, pat him on the back and let him keep going.
We had a lot of fun and cheered me up some. And he said, well, how you doing? And I said, well, I'm naked. And he says, what? And I said, there goes your supper. I said, I just got out of the shower. I couldn't shut him up from laughing there. I did. I was just getting out of the rain locker, Chris. What are you doing today for entertainment? I'm just sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and eating a piece of pizza and was thinking about my good friends on the radio here.
No, I was just finishing up my lunch and working in the shop on a part or two, trying to get a hole drilled and tapped.
A lot of that, Chris. We built these large panel boxes that were all, I don't know how long now, it's been so many years. They run a whole coal mine from 1, 2, or 3 of these JIC boxes that were, I'd say close to 20 feet long. It was quite a job to get them in the shop. And back then it was all general purpose control, so everything was relays. But they wanted one operator to be able to run all the conveyors and everything in the, the dryers and the cyclones, you name it. You could run it, possibly, from that control room. And these JIC boxes were gray, of course, like they always are, as far as I know. And we had to drill and tap for those push buttons and pull holes, knockouts for push buttons. And a lot of them were square and this and that, and then you had to file little knots in them so they wouldn't turn by hand. But you had to drill and tap, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, I believe there was 632s or 832s. It was pretty small. And we used Milwaukee drills, the old electric drills. And Buddy, you had to be awful careful and make sure your drill size was perfect, or you'd snap one of those things in a heartbeat. And you better not put a scratch on one of them panel boxes.
So you had a tapping fixture in the drill? Is that the way you did it?
No, sir. It was all by hand. I forget how they was just laid out on the front of it. There was one fella down there who was real good at that. And so you knew where to drill, and like if you pulled a knockout through it, I think they was about 14 gauge, I'd say, Chris, if I remember rightly. It's fairly thick, you know. And you drill a 3/8 inch hole in there, roughly. It was right on size for a hydraulic knockout cutter. And then you would pull those knockouts in the panel, which there were, I don't know, I'm going to say hundreds of them that we had to pull. And some of them had, later on, had closed-circuit TVs, and then they went to PLCs. But back then, it was mostly control relays. And then we wired them all with Volkeen wire, and it was number 14, THHN. It was a real good wire, 41 strand, and every bend in that panel had to be a square bend.
My job is a little bit smaller than that. I'm just kind of drilling tap 2 half-inch by 28 holes. And drill a couple more holes, but half-inch is only ones I got to tap. Pretty small compared to that job you had.
I was working on that. There was a crew of guys. But it was a learning process, especially when we used that Milwaukee drill. We'd drill the pilot holes with it, and then we would go back and we'd use rapid tap and chuck them up in those variable speed drills. And you know how fast that trigger on that thing could accelerate. And boy, you break a tap off, sometimes it can be a booger. First time I ever run a tap, I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I'd worked on airplanes. And they had this old French mill built in the 40s. It was built by Berthier. I don't know if you ever heard of them or not, but it was a 27-foot vertical boring mill. And I went down there to put a control transformer on there for a machine tool light. What's there? Oh, 6 inches tall and 4 inches wide and a couple inches thick. And that machinist about laughed his head off at me. I got so mad I could have killed him, and he turned out to be one of my best friends. But that was cast iron. And he finally told me, he says, Tom, go down there and get the next size bit up and use that. I said, well, that's not what the chart says. And he says, yeah, I know, but this old cast iron is hard as a rock. It was built in the 40s. I finally got them holes drilled and tapped, and I think they was probably 10/32s or quarter 20s. I don't remember now, Chris. But you do remember when you screwed up things like that.
For sure. And those smaller holes like that, those are the ones that tend to break those tabs pretty quick. If you're not doing them by hand and don't really feel them twisting, but if you got a tab guy and you're doing it by hand, a lot of times you can feel that tab twisting. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir there. Sound like you're done a good bit.
Yeah, Chris, I learned, and but I was mighty young then and didn't know any better. And yeah, I was running it by hand, but I kept breaking off tabs. It was going to look like a machine gun back there if I didn't get that thing mounted. And he was nice enough to come back and help me out. But that rapid tap's a miracle. Now, on the machine tools, of course, they use milk, was what we called it. Boy, that stuff can get really rancid if it sits around a while.
all that stuff. That cooling, cutting oil. I use a water base coolant that tends not to smell bad. It does pretty good. It's kind of a blue color.
It doesn't look like milk. It was white. And the most fun, Chris, is when you had an automatic tool changer and they were running taps with that after they on the big horizontals and that. And if one of those got out a little bit out of sync, oh my, that was a... I just sit there and shudder watching those things drill and tap, kind of like your machining centers and that. It's plumb scary.
Yes, sir. I don't have that rigid tapping on any of my machines, so I pretty much have to film doing my hand. Of course, I'm not complaining. As I say, you kind of get a feel for them.
I got a full set for standard and metric down there. But still, you run into some odd ones at times, you know. But I found one thing. If you're going to use a tap one time and throw it away, you buy the Japanese taps or the Chinese. If not, you better go over there to Home Depot or to Lowe's and or to a machine tool supply and buy you a good set. Because those things aren't worth a hoot.
I agree with you on that one, too. Yeah. Them small taps like that, I try to order them. I can't say that I order them made in USA, but I ordered a good name brand like Hanson or something and get them usually two flute, because those four flutes, the center of them are just a fan. They tend to break easier. And just try to go with some good ones, like you say. KO4, QLG.
Anything else, you get what you pay for, Chris, that's for sure. Well, has Chad been up there to visit with you lately?
We had a meeting we went to on Tuesday night. He came. Him and Anna both came. And, it's been a week or two, but he hadn't left behind, right? Just been busy, I guess. You know how it goes.
See how he does it. I don't see how he keeps up with him and Anna and the things they do, I'll tell you for sure. Well, I was feeling pretty good when I got up, and then I got to feeling real rough, and then we went down and got that medicine, come back and seen the old son, and that made me feel a little bit better, so we went out and fed and watered the chickens. It's 66 out there in the sun right now, but there's 13-mile-an-hour wind out of the west, so I put on coveralls, and I had to water today. We got these heated watering systems that... in the winter time, you got to do it by hand. Whereas in the summertime, I can just go over to the faucet on the side of the house and turn on the hose pipe, and it fills them up. And they got these little floats in them, and it keeps the little cups filled up, you know. But I can't hardly lift the watering system there. It's got about 3 gallon in it, and I can't lift. And so I can lift just enough to fill them up, put the cork in it, and I flip them over real quick, and then they start leaking out around the rim, and so Bernice reaches over and grabs them, and she puts them in the pen and plugs them in. When you get old, you got to have a system, Chris.
I'll agree with you on that. I got to where I couldn't take care of my animals, so I had to get rid of them. But there was cows and horses. That's been quite a few years back. But it's all good. You do what you can when you can.
That's why I tell these kids, raise cane while you're young, because you ain't going to be able to when you get older. But it seems like we all think we're going to live forever, and don't believe that at that time. But it catches up to you. My son-in-law, he just had a new knee replaced this, yesterday morning, about, what was it, 8 o'clock, Bernice? And by noon, he was headed home, and he sent me a text from the recovery room. He said, "Oh, just got me a new store-bought knee, Tom, and it's doing fine." And our daughter, Shelly, they're up in Michigan, she said, "Dad," she said, "it was like a production line, and about every hour and a half or so, they'd roll another one in there." That's just amazing. But she's a school teacher now, and went back to teaching, and after her daughter went to college, and so she's been calling us pretty regular. And the other daughter's down here in Greer, and she works for GE. She's an engineer, and but down there she's not Chris. She just handles I don't know what you call it. Juggles money like an accountant, you might say, between departments. But she's been keeping close track on us, and we're doing good. And I hope this stuff gets over with pretty quick. I'll let you go, Chris, and get back to your work, and I'm glad to hear you. You're like me. I've been eating not because I'm hungry, but just to keep my nourishment up so I won't, go down with this COVID. And hopefully the dang stuff's about over with. KO4QLG, this is N0TR73, Chris.
Tom, I hope you and Miss Bernice both get recovered pretty quick. Hopefully, like you say, it's pretty much all over with now. Hope for your sakes, anyway. And I'll keep you in my prayers. And 73 to y'all. This is KO4QLG, I'm clear.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango Mobile.
Hello, Rusty. Yeah, Chris, we'll get up to see you there when it gets warmer for us old folks. Go ahead, Rusty.
We'll catch you later, Chris. I understand you're leaving. So anyway, and hello again, Tom. Sorry I cut you short earlier, but I got a phone call and then arrived at church and was there for a luncheon and a few other things going on today. And I'm on my way to a meeting with folks and look at the facility for the barbershop convention. It's going to be here in Spartanburg in March.
This is N0TR. Well, fine business, Rusty. We haven't been doing a whole lot here. I know when you get phone calls, you got to go. That's not a problem. Just drop it and go. And this morning I had a call come in, and it was Chad, actually. And we was talking to Shelly up in Michigan, and I always get mixed up. I don't know which button to push to get out of it. I think you hit the one that says hold and accept. But then I don't know how to go back to the person that I had. And as usual, I dropped the phone call, but I called her right back. I'm not used to these fancy telephones nowadays. But Bernice is sitting over here, and I just had a piece of her homemade German nut bread, they call it. And I think we're going to have stuffed peppers for dinner in a little while. Go ahead.
He had chicken strips and mashed potatoes and green beans and gravy for the mashed potatoes and sauces for the chicken strips and cookies, all kinds of different cookies for dessert. So we had a seniors luncheon today. We're reorganizing our seniors group. We used to have meet once a month and have a covered dish or have a catered or something. And so they're trying to get us restarted after COVID, and that's where I was headed. And a guy on the phone was wanting some information about if we, our barbershop group, we go out and sing for people. And I said, yeah, we had quartets. And turns out he was looking at the webpage, and he was, you know, or trying to, he had looked at the webpage for the chapter, and he didn't click on the links, which would have sent him to somewhere to get contact with the folks that do the booking. Because I don't book for the quartets, I just book for the chorus. And all that keeps me out of trouble.
Well, that's the best. Excuse me, the best way to be, Rusty. Oh, I was just sitting there looking at the web pages here. I get advertisements from a place called Midway Arms in Columbia, Missouri. But I just see what's new out there, and, you know, very rarely. I got some gun oil from them the other day, and that's about it. But I use it for oiling little motors and stuff like that. But there's, you missed getting my Christmas present there. I was just scrolling through it, and there's a 10-point Havoc RS-440. I want to make sure you get these numbers right. Evo X crossbow package, camouflage too, so that's worth extra money. And the normal price is $2,599.99, but you can buy me one for $1,799.99. What do you think?
I think I'll take a pass on that right now, Tom. Now, that sounds like the guy I'm meeting at the, where I'm headed to a meeting, this guy I'm meeting, he's driving down from Raleigh where he lives, and he got him one of those new Ford electric pickup trucks. And he placed his order in September, his car came in, and his truck was delivered in December, and he was sitting at a restaurant in Charlotte while his vehicle was next door charging, and all because he started out the morning without a full charge on his truck. And he's coming down here, and we're going to meet, take care of some things, and then he'll charge up, and then he'll head back, either tonight, I guess, or stay tomorrow. Let me go. Got another phone call. Be right back. WTT.
Yeah, that's over $100,000 for a truck. I'll pass. This is N0TR.
WTT, I'm back.
I had to kill a video there, Rusty, so it took me a second. Yeah, I'd like to have a ride in one of those. That would be fun. They are powerful beasts, but their specifications goes down like, I forget the percentage, but it was a great percentage when you put a trailer behind them, though.
He's got the what they call the Ford F-150 Lightning version, and it's set up so that when he's plugged, once he gets his other charger installed at his house, it'll give him the capability that if he loses power, he can run his house off of the battery in his truck for 3 days. And, you know, that's a good deal. But anyway, he says it comes with both. He bought the package, and his comes with both the regular charger that comes with it that you can just plug into 110. It'll charge your vehicle overnight. And he's also got the other thing as part of his package, which he's got to have installed by an electrician, which will include the charger and the interface with the house and everything else. So if he, you know, he has to use it for the power for the house, he's got that. Anyway, but he says it rides like a car, rides like a dream. I'll get to see his pretty vehicle when he gets here today. And all, but yeah, we're getting ready for the convention, which will be the second weekend in March. And maybe we can figure out a way to get you some tickets, and y'all can come to the finale, to the contest sometime that weekend.
Rusty?
Be at Spartanburg High School over here in Spartanburg.
Avoid crowds, but we'll take it under consideration. We've been to some band concerts for the kids and got away with that. I was talking to Bill this morning in 4IQ, and I know last year you went on a jaunt, I think him and his wife, up to Wyoming, and he was telling me this morning that everyone on that bus got the COVID, and one of them even died. So, I just keep my eye on the numbers down here and how many people's getting it. And maybe we'll have some immunity build up by then. Besides our shot, the doctor told us, he says, I'm sure glad you guys had all your shots. So I am too, although it still isn't a pleasant experience. But yeah, that'd be a beautiful truck, and they will do exactly what you said. But I wonder how many decades it'll be for the payback on that.
I don't know. I was asking because he was charging it where he was, and I was asking what the cost was to charge it at one of these public chargers, and he says that the one where he was, it was like 40 cents a kilowatt. And he says it'll run, the cost would be about one-third of what it would be to fill up the tank on that thing if it was a gas vehicle.
I'm sure it is. They get way up there in miles per gallon. Bad part is, Rusty, they haven't figured out a way to get rid of these batteries yet off these vehicles. And the other thing is, after about 10 years or so, you're going to replace that, and that's in the a lot of dollars. So if you're wealthy and can afford one of those things, like, people like that, they just don't have to worry about things like that. They just trade it in, go get another car. We got a friend that's had a Ford Lightning for many, many years. That's a famous model, and it had a big V8 in it, and he still drives it.
Yeah, I didn't get all of your last transmission because I ended up being parked under a traffic light, so it kind of things. I'll tell you what, reception over here in Spartanburg today is not the best in the world for this repeater. At my house, and even on the house radio and the antenna outside and here. So I mean, I don't know what's going on, but reception over here is lousy today for this repeater.
Well, there are those places. Oh, I was saying I had a friend that had a Ford Lightning. It's white, and I think it had a pinstripe down it that was blue. I don't remember, back up in Kansas, and he'd had it many years and was very proud of it. And boy, it had a lot of giddy up. It had a big old V8 in it.
Nice engines in this one and all, but he says he's enjoying it, and the drive, it's making driving, like you said, it drives like a fancy car, so that's good for him. But anyway, I'm making my way through downtown Spartanburg, because I got to go all the way through Spartanburg and to the other side, to the east side of town, so I can meet up with the guy out there at Chick-fil-A, and then we'll meet in the rest of our group at the Spartanburg High School at 3:30, so fun, you know?
Yeah, my neighbor, Tim, he just bought a new, brand new GMC truck. Where'd he go to get that up in Nashville, I think? Gosh, is that a beautiful thing. And it's just a fancy Chevy, I guess they called him for many years. But, oh, is it fancy. And he had a big Dodge diesel, and he said that thing rode like a truck, and he says, this thing rides like a car, Tom. He says, you wouldn't believe it. It's so quiet and that. And I said, yes, I would. That's the way they're building them now. More truck than that diesel was, and now not in terms of torque and all of that different things, but as far as amenities on it, it's just amazing. He's got internet, satellite radio, a huge screen in the front of it. And it gets fairly decent mileage, considering he bought four-wheel drive, and I asked him why, and he said, well, I'm pulling that boat, and when you're down on one of them boat ramps, if the back tires start sliding, you better have something to get you out of there, and he's got a big old bass boat, a Sendero TR.
Tango Mobile. Well, I'll tell you what, they're all fancy, these things. I mean, anything. I don't think there's a cheap car anywhere out there anymore. And I'm going to go over and look at a dealership over in Greer. I was told to go talk to the guy at the Toyota dealership over in Greenville. And several several folks at our church have bought from this guy over there, and says they've gotten good deals and gotten good cars too, you know. So, and they weren't brand new. They were like new to them, but weren't brand new. So I'll go over and talk to the guy and see what he's got and see what he can do for me. And going by there's a bunch of new buildings in downtown Spartanburg. I haven't been in this section before. And there's a new restaurant over here called Chicken Salad Chick. And looks like it's a nice place. I may have to come up here one day and see what they offer for lunch and everything. But, I need to get downtown in Spartanburg more often to see what's down here. They've done a lot here in downtown Spartanburg.
That, you can't go wrong with a Toyota, I don't think, Rusty. And, I did hear, that the, on the Fox News one night, a month or two ago, that the price of used cars had started to drop now, but the new ones have not. And it was an appreciable amount that they had dropped, but they're still high. But there's a lot of good used Toyotas there, especially if you get a certified one, because they go over it pretty thoroughly. And I've just never had any problems with them of any consequence, but... Yeah, old Tim likes that truck, even though it's a gas truck. The diesel had bukus more torque, I'm sure. But he said, Tom, he said, you didn't notice that boat back there. It's got a V8 in it. And he said, so what's the difference? And he gets just as good a mileage with it as he did the diesel. So diesel's $5 a gallon, and it's going to go up. And I think diesel's come down, of course, and I don't buy it, but I thought I saw it for a little over $4 the other day, but that's killing us. And you know what gets me, though, Rusty, on those electric cars? They're running our ability of manufacturing because, I don't want to get into politics, but Biden's shutting down all the coal-fired generating stations in the United States. Where are they going to get the capacity in the grid to charge all these things? And then the manufacturing facilities are not going to have enough power to keep manufacturing stuff here in the United States. When India, they're building coal plants every day. China's building coal plants every day. And we're shutting them down. I don't get it.
Well, I'm getting in an area where it's getting real bad over here, so I'm going to go ahead and sign with you now because I'm getting on the other side of Spartanburg, and the reception is getting real lousy. I got about half of what that last thing said. So I'm going to go ahead and set 7-3s, and I'll catch up to you later. N0TR, WU2T.
Okay, Rusty. Yeah, I'm getting tired anyways. This stuff's working on me some. But you have a good day, and nice talking to you. W2TN0TR.
Report DJW Mobile.
You in there.
Afternoon, Dave. How are you? KG4LSL.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Had a good week playing pool on league night, and now I'm in the studio working on a new blueback herring. Color pattern on a lipless crankbait.
You see, I bet. We just finished hanging on HF antenna for KP4CBA, David. And it looks like it's going to work out. Took a little bit longer than we thought, but it's hanging. It's in the sky now.
Yeah, as long as it's in the air, it should radiate. Did y'all hang it up in a tree, or did you put it up on a pole?
Dry trees. At minimum. I got to run in here and pick up some dry cleaners, and I'll be back out on the radio in just a minute. I'm going by here. I may as well pick it up while I'm here. I just figured that out. Anyway, I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
Roger, roger. I'll be here. KG4LSL.
DJW Mobile.
And almost busted. high school?
40% of that. Maybe 35%. You'd pick a Vincent for some reason.
For the Hershey Creek Elementary.
Oh, okay. I know where that is. I used to sit inside that place watching them build Eastside.
If you come over this way, you better be careful because they've got a speed trap set up just out Lee Road away from Eastside.
So I don't have to worry about that. Plus, as old as I am, I find I don't hardly ever break the speed limit anymore. I used to have a radar detector in the car, and it's all the time going off, and every time when I looked down, I was under the speed limit. So I chunked that thing.
What you mean? Well, in the meantime, I discovered cruise control,
and that's what I started using.
It'll even break for you. When I was going down to Fort Myers and Amy's car, my car won't do it, but her car will. There was like three places we got into stop-and-go traffic where on the interstate, it stopped dead still on the interstate. And then you go forward about 30 feet and you stop. And forward, and her car will stop you dead still. Mine will stop you, but then it goes beep and it lets off the brake and you better put your foot on the brake. Hers will stop you, and then when the car starts to go again, it'll start going again. Stop and go, stop and go. And it's because it's hybrid, it's not burning any gas. It's just using electricity the whole time for stop and go. That sure does relieve stress and doesn't consume any fuel.
Guess what just passed by me? A 1959 MGA.
That's small enough to go underneath of you, isn't it?
Pretty much good. Yeah, it's going back up the other way towards Eastside. Yeah, if I can just get out of this traffic and get over here to Thorn Blade, I'll be percolating right along. Well, I really didn't think that was going to go over the top that last time through.
I didn't want to set up to make another shot because that's a difficult area to get a good shot in.
Well, the only way that he's going to be able to effectively use that thing is to get him a tuner that'll, a really good tuner like that one I got.
Sit down and trim it, add a little bit to it, or take a little bit away from it, or do some trimming in that balun.
I just wonder what it's going to do to his 20 meter. That 20 meter was just near perfect.
And that 20 meter, during the day he'll be fine. It's just at nighttime when he'll struggle a little bit. He could add some link to that dipole on one end or the other and solve that problem. Not enough to kill 20 meters, but enough to bring in 40 and 80.
The solution to it is that that tuner. If I let him borrow mine, he'll have one within a week.
Well, digital, yeah, the tuner will work okay. But if he's on phone, he's going to mess up. I mean, it's just going to heat up, the tuners. He's not going to be radiating anywhere near all of his signal if he uses a tuner to bring that in.
This thing I've got, it's awfully good. It's a AT 1000 Pro, and it's an automatic tuner. You don't even have to do anything when it goes to the band. You shift or change bands. And, it's just slick as a ribbon. And I watch my wattmeter on my radio, and I watch the wattmeter I have going out past the tuner, and it's just beautiful.
Who are those tuners? I know what you're talking about. And I set the digital one. I had one for phone and one for digital. I ran Whisper on it 24/7 by 365. And I tune it on each band for the Whisper frequency and bring it in and then have it set to where the software would just bump it when it changed frequencies. And the tuner would tune immediately. It'd just go click, and it was tuned to it. So, yeah, I know those. I know those tuners really, really good. But if you're a long way out, it will bring them in. It'll bring them in, but the net result of that is you're just heating up the tuner box. You're making the radio happy, but you're not making the wire radiate.
That's true. Well, in the meantime, the 28th and 29th, I have decided I am going to purchase a spider pole or something of that nature, and I'm going to bring my OCF Maxcon up there and run a very shallow angle on it. I'll be able to get it up probably 20 feet at the center and just let the ends come down and use it that way. That won't be the best, but that comet antenna that I've got, the CHB, CHA-20B, 250B, the minimum height they recommend is 34 feet up in the air.
Than that up at Gene's place. You can get 60, 80 feet up in there. He's got some big, tall trees up there. So, yeah, 30 feet will do it, but 60 or 80 feet is a lot better.
This thing is configured. See, I'm talking about that vertical antenna, aluminum vertical, and you got to have it up on a mast of some sort to get it up that high. So it's just not gonna perform up there for us.
Too. You can run a rope across two treetops and hang it from that rope. So you don't have to push it up off the ground. You can pull it up off the ground. There's more than one way to do a vertical.
It's a thought, but like I said, for simplicity, I'm probably just going to bring my OCF Maxcon.
Whatever you decide to do, just bring something. Just pack it up and bring something. And plan on staying overnight. That's what I plan on doing, unless it's like in the single digits.
Those really long, long, long painter's poles that you can get from Lowe's, fiberglass extension poles. I think that's what I'm going to try to do is get one of those, you know, just something cheap, and, you know, try to hang and just try to stand it up and, you know, see if I can stabilize that with a couple of guy wires and go up with that.
For that 10-element 2-meter beam that we both got the same one, I've used it, the painter pole, and on the back deck. I took the umbrella out of the table on the back deck and put that pole in there, put that 10-element 2-meter beam back there. And that worked pretty good. It did bend a little bit, but not too bad. Anyway, I'm in the driveway. I got to go start preparing for cooking some New York strips and some salad and stuff like that for tonight. So I got to get in there and get busy. anyway, I enjoyed it. Appreciate you helping out over there today. And I know David appreciate it.
Yep. Before you go, one quick question. That 10-element 2-meter beam, what would be a fair price for that? This is so new.
Thing they're selling it for on DX Engineering, they just don't have to wait for it or pay shipping.
Something like $75.
Sell it now price or buy it now or, you know, make it a moving price. That's what I do on Facebook Marketplace when I've got something I just want to get rid of and I want to get rid of it now.
Well, our friend that we were talking about the other day. So, anyhow. All right, well, good advice. I'll talk to you a little bit later, bud. Thank you.
Good seeing you today, W4DJ, W Clear.